baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Bets, the podcast that takes a look at all things betting in the sports world. I am Chad Millman. Later on in the show, professional sports bettor, NBA expert, Aaron Rinning, also a contributor to the Chalk section on ESPN.com. He has a NBA preview for the finals, NBA betting preview for the finals going up today on the website. But first up, joining me from Las Vegas, as he always does, bookmaker for the Orleans and all the Boyd Gaming books in the state of Nevada, Bob Scucci.
The late move is the correct move.
You've been waiting all week.
The only sure thing is that there is no sure thing.
And it's finally here.
When all hope is lost, all that's left is relief.
Welcome.
The right side is the winning side.
Don't forget, betting and point spread is all public perception.
To the Scooch Pod.
I want to buy that guy a buffet.
There you go, buddy.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
That is the first time this season we've gotten it right on the first try.
We nailed it.
Wow. What did that take? It was September, and it's now, let's call it June. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That was 9 months.
Good thing you had enough fingers there, Chad.
Got close, right? Got it. September to the end of May actually feels like it's less time than 9 months.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, our seasons just run right into the runs into another one, and just when you feel like it's kind of time to breathe a little bit, it's just like something else is right in front of you.
But where are our lives? Where are our lives going?
It's going fast. I don't know where they're going, but I know how fast they're going.
Oh, my God. It's just killing me. Speaking of killing me, how about the fact that Cubs are tanking? So that must thrill you, because I do, before we get to the NBA Finals, we're, 2 months into baseball at this point, and when you get 2 months into baseball, there's always surprises. The Rangers are a surprise. The Rockies are a huge surprise. I just had a quick question. Like, I was thinking about it on the way over here. Where is your biggest liability right now?
So our biggest liability is on the Rangers, actually, and we're still at 25-1 on those. But we lose on the Rangers. The Rockies, we don't win anything. But we don't get killed. We were kind of quick to move those. We opened them 75-1 early on in the year, dropped them down to 50, then 40. We're down to 10-1 on the Rockies right now, but we don't do well on them. But we don't get killed. The Rangers are right now the biggest liability, and then the Yankees were the other big surprise. That we always try to stay low on the Yankees, even when they're in their down years, because they have just such a big following, and we know we're going to get money on them. So, at 25-1 that we opened them, we thought that was low, but it turned out to be pretty high, and we're down to 8-1 on the Yankees.
What about the Cubs? You'll be huge winners on the Cubs, right?
Big time. So if the Cubs just turn things around and just light it up and go back to back, then that's our biggest winner right now. Probably right up there with the Indians, actually. So the Indians, Cubs, and even to some extent the Red Sox, any of those teams are probably our best case scenarios.
Well, speaking of Chicago, and speaking of Cleveland is what I meant to say, the Cavaliers happen to be in the finals this year. They're playing against the Golden State Warriors. We talked a little bit about this last week, but give me your take on how it has actually changed once you posted the numbers and where some of the money has come in now that we are, looking at 24 to 30 hours before the game starts.
Yeah, we had such a lot of time between games, between when the conference finals ended and the finals began. So there's a lot of time for a difference of opinions. And so early on, we made the Warriors a 7.5-point favorite for game one. and all the initial money came in on Cleveland, and just the perception that Cleveland looked so dominant. I mean, everyone knew the Warriors were going to be dominant, so that wasn't that big of a surprise. But just how well Cleveland played and how good they looked, the initial perception was that getting 7.5 points seemed like a little bit of a value even against the Warriors. So early money on Cleveland. Since then, I would say in the last 2-3 days, it's kind of flipped around a little bit, and now you've got a lot of small stuff, a lot of grind, just parlays, and the ticket count is going up on the Warriors, but we still haven't gotten off of 7 now. So we went from 7.5 down to 7 based on the Cavalier money. Now the Warrior money is starting to come in, but it's not as it's not that heavy. It's actually, if you had to just look at the last 2 days and throw out the earlier part of the week, it's dead even. The money is just dead even in the last 2 days. So looks like we finally have a game with almost perfect two-way action.
And so what number are you at right now?
7.
You're at 7.
Yeah.
What about, and is that wise guy money that is dead even, or is all the wise guy money on one side and the public money is on the other?
No, it's not. It's not wise guy money. Actually, the wise guy money came in early on Cleveland, as well as some public money. Like I said, the first couple days we had the line up, and that drove the line from 7.5 down to 7. And since then, the wise guys really haven't weighed in on either side since then. So it looks like they probably saw a little bit of value at plus to 7.5. And as we've talked about before in the NBA, 7 is a key number. That's kind of like the equivalent of a 3 in the NFL, or as close as you can get. More games are decided by 7 points than any other number. It's a key number that we don't want to kind of move around a little bit on it. So, but we're happy with the two-way action we have right now. Now the over is another story.
I have two, because we're going quick today because I want to get ER on and you got to bounce off. But I have two things I want to talk about. One of the totals and one of the series. So talk to me about totals.
Yeah, the total we hung 225 is what our opening number was, and we're up to 226.5, and the ticket count is about 2-1 over to under, and we expected a lot of that, knowing that more people like to bet the over than they do the under. A lot of recreational players just feel like they want something to root for, even if they're not really handicapping. They just say, I want to see a high-scoring game, and I want to win some money on it. So we know we're going to get a lot of over bets, and most of these games during the playoffs have just flew over. So this is a really high total, and we expect them to just run up and down the floor. So we tried to be high, but obviously not high enough. The sharp guys really haven't weighed in. They haven't come in on the under yet. Maybe they're figuring they can get a better number closer to game time, maybe 227 or 227.5.
Give me some perspective on how high this total is for an NBA Finals.
Yeah, you know, there is that whole 10-year gap where defense really kind of ruled the game. You're going back to the mid to late 90s and then early 2000s when you had a lot of teams like the Bulls and the Knicks that just really played lockdown defense, and you had a lot of low-scoring NBA Finals. So, you know, 180s, 185 was kind of typical with what you would see. You know, gradually it's been kind of working its way up over the years. And then, of course, once the Warriors became so good in their style of play, we've just seen these totals, higher than we've ever seen. I mean, 226 in an NBA Finals. I mean, you have to go back, 25 years.
Seriously, that far?
I can't remember. It's historically high. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, like I said, the style of play changed over the years, and it kind of goes through those cycles. And right now we're in that cycle where this is the style of play, and it's just run the floor.
So Aaron Rinning, the professional NBA bettor who's going to come on the podcast next, he posted a column to ESPN.com today previewing the finals from a betting perspective. He has a stat in the column that I'm going to ask him about. In 2016, the Game 1 total number was 211. While Game 7 eventually closed at around 205. So this number is 21 points higher than last year's closing number for the last game of the series.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you do have a little bit better three-point shooting from at least on the Cleveland side. So their 3-point shooting percentage is really high, and so just add that, you could kind of add that to last year's number. They have different personnel, a little different team.
You're going to sweat that number, I bet. You're going to be nervous about how much higher it's going to go.
I'm excited to finally get a game in the NBA playoffs that there's that much interest in. I mean, it's been so kind of anticlimactic with the playoffs. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of drama. So finally, I mean, this is kind of what everyone was looking for, and we've got it. So, we're just excited to have this game.
What about the series? Where are you on the series price, and is there any wise guy action on it?
So, yeah, on the series price, we're at -260 on the Warriors, which, this number, there's been a lot of discussion on this number even during the last 2 weeks before the conference finals were even over with. There was just a discussion, what would the Warriors-Cavaliers matchup be? And some of my colleagues had it as high as 320, and some of my colleagues had it as low as 220. And a lot of it is just kind of positioning yourself from where your liability lies throughout the years. Every property is a little different in the bets they took throughout the year. I know a lot of us had that prop up Warriors versus the field that we opened at the very first week of the season, where we had the Warriors -$1.70 versus the entire field. So depending on where everybody's liability sits, that's how they're going to manipulate the series price. But I think everyone's pretty much settled into that -250, -260 on the Warriors. And we're getting more tickets on the Cavaliers. I think a lot of our bettors at most of our locals properties kind of root for the underdog. They want to kind of bet a little to win a lot rather than the other way around. So we have more tickets on the Cavaliers and a little bit more money on the Cavaliers.
All right, Scoochie, listen, I promised I was going to get you out of here in 15 minutes, and guess what?
We're there already, huh?
The clock is about to hit 15.
Time just flies. That's what we're saying.
You're the best, brother. Have a good series. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Chad.
All right, Scooch, thanks very much. Coming up after this, we're talking to Aaron Rinning, professional sports bettor, looking at the NBA Finals. Next up on the podcast, Aaron Rinning, professional sports bettor, focusing on the NBA. Also regular contributor to ESPN Chalk, who filed a betting preview for the finals today that's going up online. ER, talk to me about this finals, man. You had a very interesting stat, and I just had Scooch on the podcast, and we were talking about how you noted that the opening total for the game today is 226, which is 21 points higher than the closing number for Game 7 last year.
Yes, Chad. Hey, first of all, it's great to be with you. Or I guess our annual yearly NBA Finals preview I do with you. But I did write up something for ESPN Chalk. Obviously there's a lot of numbers when you're dealing with this game, because we can go back in history and look at the last two finals. And that was certainly something to note, is the over-under or the betting total for this game. Last year in Game 7, the closing total was around 205. Now, Game 1 last year was about 211, but the way these teams have played and certainly performed from an offensive perspective, this total is way up there right now, 226. So, yeah, 21 points higher than last year's close in Game 7. And, one of the reasons why that number is so high also, what I put in there is the overs have just been on a tear, as most bettors would certainly tell you, and most bookmakers would tell you, Chad. Right now, in the NBA playoffs, overs 44-29-1, so winning at certainly above a 60% clip, which is generally unheard of in the NBA playoffs.
So when you saw that 226 number, which Scooch told me is historically, generationally high, he can't remember a number in the last 20 to 25 years that is that high. When you see that number, are you thinking opportunity? Are you thinking they overshot it because the numbers have been so crazy? What's your perspective on that?
Well, I tell you what, I've been lucky and thankful that I haven't been getting burned on a lot of these winning over bets, Chad, because generally I've always done well playing unders in the NBA playoffs. That can go back away. But my numbers that I do make have been just a little bit higher than the market number throughout the NBA playoffs. So, like I said, I've always done well betting unders. I thought the numbers have been just kind of set too low all throughout the NBA playoffs. So, thankfully, I haven't lost. And that's the way I kind of am moving into this series, is my number is a little bit higher, if you can believe that or not, when you're talking about a number that's 226. So at least for game one, I'm going to be sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, the in-game betting is kind of a popular thing now where you can make bets during commercials of these games. And I've tried to maybe pick spots to play under, so maybe I'll do that in game one. But it is very high, but, you know, like I said, with my numbers, it should be maybe even a little bit higher. With that said now, Chad, last year when these two teams met over seven games, the unders did win four of those. The games went over twice. There was one push with that. They've met twice in the regular season. Both those games went under the total so far this year.
But you say your number is higher.
A little bit.
And that you're going to sit on the, but then you're going to sit on the sidelines if you're getting 226.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that much higher. It's not worth making a bet. So that's the way I approach it, Chad.
Why do you specify sort of in-game wagering around commercials? What is the thought there? I don't understand.
Oh, it's just because you can't really get a good bet down unless it's a commercial.
Just because the pace of the game slows down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, yeah, there's just more, yeah, you have more places to bet, stuff like that.
Got it. So when you look at a series like this, how much are you thinking about game one, and how much are you thinking about how game one could impact series price and what you want to do over the course of the seven potential games?
Right. And obviously, if you go back to last year, the series, of course, changed dramatically throughout the games. And I remember last year going on your show and I said, yeah, I think Golden State's certainly going to win this series. Looked very right after the first two games because Golden State won the first two by a combined score of 214 to 166. Of course, we remember Cleveland came back in game three, won 120 to 90. Golden State won the game four to go up 3-1. Looked like they had the series won, of course, before Cleveland made one of the better comebacks you'll ever see and win the final three games. And that's kind of, to me, the key to this series, Chad, is I think Golden State's the superior team. I think they're much better. Obviously, both teams are very explosive offensively, but I think it's the Golden State's defense that is much better than Cleveland's version of a defense that's going to be the difference in this series. Now, what won the series last year for Cleveland was, you know, obviously a number of things, but kind of slow things down, get to the ball to the basket, get to the free throw line, things like that. And I think that's where the Warriors are definitely vulnerable again this year, is at the rim protection. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving getting to the rim. Cleveland has outshot or made six more free throws per game than their opponents in the playoffs. To me, that's the key. That's how Cleveland's going to win this series, is by getting easier shots and kind of playing that bully ball that we've seen them to win the Eastern Conference in.
Well, you have another great stat that you point out in the column that you wrote, is that Golden State was second overall in efficiency this year in three-point defense, allowing 32.4% from behind the line. And that people just forget about how good they are defensively.
Yeah, I mean, actually, they were number one in three-point defense. They were number two in defensive efficiency overall.
Got it.
So, yeah, Cleveland, as we saw them, great ball movement. They've made 43.5% of their three-point shots in the playoffs so far, which is obviously a great number. I think they shot around 38.5% in the regular season. They're certainly going to make their three-point shots, but Golden State, actually, you go back to their final game when they went to Houston, they actually put on a great show when they went into when Golden State went into Houston and San Antonio on the road, back-to-back games, and won both games without Kevin Durant. One of those games, they held Houston to 5-for-31 from the three-point line. They're really, really good when they're really focused on running teams off the three-point line. So I think that's going to be fine. I think Cleveland will shoot, obviously, much less than 43.5%. I think they'll shoot less than their regular season number at 38.5%. So Golden State definitely has that going for them. They have the athleticism, the length, the ability to rotate to hold Cleveland down from that. So I think that's the key to the series. Like I said, to me, it kind of comes down to what Cleveland can do at the rim, because I think Golden State's going to be able to score. I mean, they averaged 124.5 against San Antonio in that series. I thought Cleveland's defense is still lacking. They've just been able to, I think to some degree, they've just decided, hey, we're going to outscore the opposition. That's not going to work here in the finals, Chad. But I thought teams like Boston and Toronto were able to still get good shots. They didn't have the shooters to knock them down. But, you know, those same shots for Golden State are definitely going to be good for points.
So you have Golden State minus 260 is the side to play and the bet to make. But you just mentioned Golden State averaging 124 against the Spurs. Mm-hmm. But against the Spurs, like, they were without Tony Parker, they were without Kawhi Leonard, they weren't the same Spurs team. So when you see a number like that, how do you separate sort of the signal from the noise, because you're not playing the Spurs as you would expect them to be?
Absolutely. And that's really makes this series a little bit tricky, Chad, because if you think about it, certainly the Spurs were without he's one of the top five players in the NBA, probably one of the top two or three players in the NBA. With that said, and Utah was banged up when Golden State played them as well. However, we have to remember as well, Toronto lost their playmaking guard and Kyle Lowry, which cost them any chance to be competitive against Cleveland. Of course, Boston lost Isaiah Thomas as well. So obviously both these teams have their opposition has missed key players in the playoffs so far.
So what is the number you look at that tells you, oh, this is why this is the better side?
Oh, you just have to, just what the numbers that I've done, you know, every game throughout the season, Chad, and I continue to make my numbers. I still think the Western Conference is superior to the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Boston Celtics were one of the worst one seeds that I can ever remember seeing. So I think that has something to do. And just watching these games and watching these teams play again throughout the year, I mean, Golden State's going to go down as one of the best teams we've ever seen. And you know, it always comes back to the, you know, Cleveland with their defense, and obviously they're a different team, as they've shown getting into the playoffs. But my numbers between these two teams are still different than what the market says, and that kind of guides me to the play here on the Warriors in the series. And yeah, I'm not crazy about laying, you know, 2-something. I did lay less than 260. There's less than that out there. But again, just from a value perspective, I thought that was a bit cheap.
What do you do when, you know, this is interesting. What do you do? We make you generally use the numbers from the Westgate, right?
Correct,
so
yes.
You see the Westgate at minus 260. You can get a better number out there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do when you know you can get a better number and you're seeing the 260? Like, that's a challenging thing to decide which side to take if you're still not getting the best of the number.
Yeah, it's certainly, you know, when you bet from a professional perspective, I certainly was always trying to get the best of the number, or get your bet down before the number would move your way, or vice versa. So, yeah, it's certainly challenging, but certainly at ESPN Chalk, we've always used the Westgate numbers, and the Westgate numbers are very sharp, in my opinion. So, you know, those are the cards I'm dealt with, Chad.
Well, I appreciate you dealing with those cards.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about game one specifically, because even though you like the Warriors at minus 260 for the series,
mm-hmm.
they're 7-point favorites going into the game tomorrow night. Have you made a play either at 7.5 on either side or at 7 on either side? And do you have an opinion about the game at 7?
I have not bet it yet, Chad. I haven't quite decided if I was. Like I said, I did bet the series price. Now, when they played at Golden State earlier this year, remember they played the Christmas game where Cleveland won by 1 point, is about a 3.5-point underdog. And then Golden State came back and embarrassed Cleveland on January the 16th. Golden State won 126 to 91. Golden State was a 9-point favorite in that game. And a lot that Cleveland hopes to do right in this series definitely went wrong, obviously, in that game where they got beat by 30-some points. Cleveland shot 9 of 34 from the three-point line. A lot of people say the advantage for Cleveland is going to be rebounding as well. Golden State actually out-rebounded Cleveland in that game, 58-35, which is kind of an amazing number when you consider these two teams. Yeah, I definitely lean here towards Golden State. As I mentioned, I did not bet that. You're correct in this first game being a little bit tricky to handicap because both teams have had a lot of time off. It's hard to make exactly what these two teams did throughout the playoffs really so far. I mean, they just had one loss combined between these two teams. You know, what are they, 24-1 or what have you? Golden State's 27-1 their last 28 games period. So to me, they're very hard to bet against in this situation. I think there is a hint of value with the Warriors. So that's definitely the way I lean, and perhaps I'll get there and make that bet.
Yeah, you might get there. Like, it's settled at 7, and, you know, Scooch was just talking about how they feel like they have found the balance in that particular number and that it, you know, they've landed on a key number that they're not too anxious to move off of. But that 27-1 stat for the Warriors is just astonishing. Like, they're so good that a number like that can go unnoticed.
You're kind of right. You have to remember most of those
games. All the way right. I'm not just kind of right.
Most of those games were without Kevin Durant.
Yeah. It's stunning. So, stunning.
It's been a strange NBA season.
It really has. It's been a kind of a blowout season with star performances and not teams that match it.
Yeah, I mean, the playoffs have been, somewhat of a disaster, certainly from a fan perspective. We'll see if the finals are going to be better. I'm hopefully going to say it won't be. I think Golden State wins this series in 5, so we'll see, Chad.
Well, you got your money where your mouth is.
I do right now.
Aaron Rinning, professional sports bettor, chalk analyst for the NBA, has a new column up today on previewing betting the NBA finals. Easier for me to say 2 or 3 times. Thanks for coming on the podcast, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me. We'll talk to you later, Chad. Have a good summer, bud.
You too.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.